Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Morning, 10 o'clock. How are we this morning? Good to see you. Good to be with you all. I've had some fun in recent weeks. More fun than I've had in a long time, actually. Filling in the census form. Wasn't that fun? Wasn't that just a night of joy for the whole country? No, it was fun. The census, of course, asked me all sorts of questions about who I am. My age, my nationality, my job, my gender, my height, my weight, my toothbrush colour, it was all there to fill in. But it didn't ask me some of the most important questions that get to the very heart, the very core of who I am. It didn't ask me, for instance, if I was a Swans or a Giants supporter on finals weekend. Apparently the Giants won, is that right? Okay, well done. I don't really follow the AFL, so that wasn't really a question for me. What I would have maybe liked it to ask to get more, it was, am I an NRL supporter? Do I still, you know, put this on from time to time? Actually, this hasn't got a lot of wear since the second half of this season. So I did put that on, but I took that off. It could have asked me, though, if I was a cricket supporter. As some of you will know, I am a cricket supporter. I do put this on from time to time, but we did lose 3-0 to Sri Lanka in Sri Lanka, so I took that off as well. And so it should have asked me, am I a Rouse Hill Rams supporter because one of my sons won a grand final for it yesterday? So I wore this with pride all day. But which one of those is me? Can I put them on and take them off and still be me? I mean, it's nice to be able to change, isn't it, to suit what else is going on. There's something enticing about thinking that who we are as people doesn't have to stay static. We don't have to stay still, but we can change and put things on and put things off. But if we do that, are we authentically us? Can I change any of the other census categories and still be me? Can I change my occupation? Can I change my marital status? Can I change my gender and still be authentically me? We're in a series, as John mentioned, called Who Are You? And we are looking at this fundamental question, the question that at some level every human being has to answer in order to live life. It's the question that's at the heart of every political debate, every ethics system, every philosophical system in the East or the West, every religion has got an answer to this question about who we are as human beings. As we've seen, as John mentioned, we've seen the Bible teaches that we are created. We are creatures made by God and made by Him to be in the image of God, to be the special ones over all that God made. We've seen that we've been made for relationships. And we saw last week we are saved to be children of a heavenly Father. And so today I want to open up that passage that we just heard read to us from Colossians 3 and get at this question about who are we if we are changing? Can we change and still be authentically us? So it'd be good if you turn that passage open right now from Colossians chapter 3 on a screen. If you have the paper Bible from the back, it's page 1167. It would be good to have that open as we dive in and explore. Three things I want to look at. The first is you are not who you were. You are not who you were. I wonder if you can think of big life-defining events in your life. Things that happen that change how you view yourself and who you think you are and your place in the world. One of these great life-defining events happened to me recently. Very, very special moment. My wife was there. My children were there. It wasn't my marriage to my wife, although that's fairly, important. Wasn't the birth of my children, special as that is. No, they were all there to see last year I joined the rank of people who earned a hat trick at the age of 43. Marriage is still important, darling. I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit later as a life-defining event. Now, look, in all seriousness, if your trust is in Jesus, your biggest life-defining event happened in the year 33 AD on a hill outside of Jerusalem. And you might say, well, hang on a minute. Now, you asked me about life-defining events for me, things that have happened in my timeline. And I would say, yes, that's right. That is your biggest life-defining event because when Jesus died, you died. It's there in our passage, Colossians 3, verse 1. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Paul the Apostle says, speaking God's words, you died when Christ died. You see, when you put your trust in Jesus, it's not just a mental thing. It's not just, I now give assent to these set of facts about Jesus. I now agree with that in my mind. Now, there's something more profound that happens. When you put your trust in Jesus, God comes to work in your life, and God's Holy Spirit unites your life with Jesus' life. They are knitted together. You are united with Christ. And so when he died there in 33 AD, you died there with him. You were in him when he died as your representative on the cross. And not only did you die with him, but you have been raised with him, says Paul. That is, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the very first Sunday morning, your life united to his, rose with him. And when he ascended to the throne 40 days after the resurrection, we ascended And Colossians says we are seated at the right hand of God the Father, there with him right now. Now, this isn't just wishful thinking. This is God-revealed truth. We saw a magnificent testimony to this last week here on Sunday night. Here, you remember the tank was here, and we saw a young girl get baptized in the full tank. And as she went backwards into the water, she was testifying that her trust in Jesus meant that she died, went down into the ground with Jesus. And as she rose up out of the water, her life was united with Christ as he rose up out of the grave. You died with Christ, in Christ. You rose with Christ, in Christ. So you're not who you were. And that means two important things for us. Firstly, we're no longer objects of God's wrath. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who were disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." That's who we were. We were made in the image of God, yes, but creatures deserving God's wrath. But now, having died with Christ to sin, having raised to new life to secure God's forgiveness, that is not us anymore. And so we don't have to fear the judgment of the living God. And if you don't have to fear the judgment of the living God, then there's not a lot else to fear. And so we're no longer objects of wrath. And secondly, because we've died and risen with Christ, because we're no longer who we were, we know our purpose. Paul continues in Ephesians 2, "Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It's been grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed to us in his kindness in Christ Jesus. For it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Now, I used to get this wrong. As a zealous teenager, God was kind to let me get onto that truth that we are saved by grace through faith, not by works. It's not our works, it's not our deeds that get us right with God. It's an act of God's love and grace towards us. Okay? Now, I grabbed hold of that truth and thought, yes, we're saved by grace through faith. And so I would put down the whole idea of doing any works at all as a Christian. No, we're not saved by works. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. Don't worry about works. But that's ridiculous. That's verses 8 and 9. But you see, once we're died and rise with Christ, our purpose becomes clear. It's there in verse 10. "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So we're not saved by doing works, but we are saved to do good works. Because we've died and rise with Christ, we know our purpose. We're being remade by Jesus to do good works. So when you are doing good things for your brothers and sisters here in church, or whether you're doing good things out there in the community, in charities or at schools or in sports clubs or wherever it is, you're fulfilling your purpose. Remade to do good works. So the first thing to see about who we are is you're not who you were. You're not who you were. The second thing to see about who we are is that you are not who you will be. You are not who you will be. I used to love playing hide and seek with my boys when they were really little. I don't know if you've had this experience of trying to explain to little children the whole concept of hiding. You know, when you hide, the whole point is, I'm not supposed to be able to see you. I'm not supposed to be able to know where you are. And I remember explaining this to them, and they would run off all laughing, and they would hide. And hiding meant that maybe part of one leg was behind a door and the rest of them was in plain sight. And then if you didn't come and find them within about 3 seconds, they would say, "Dad, I'm over here!" And they would laugh. It was hilarious. Of course, as they got older and you play hide and seek, they would go and hide, and I couldn't find them at all. They'd be lost for hours. I'd give up after about 10 minutes and go and watch the TV. And eventually they'd come out and say, "Dad, where are you?" I'd say, "I found you." Worked it out. Now, there's a curious line in our passage this morning about hiding. I don't know if you noticed it. Colossians 3, verse 1 again. "Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." You died, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. In other words, there's a sense in which your real life cannot be seen right now. Who you are is not on show for everyone to see just yet. So that raises a question: what does that life look like and when do you get to see it? Well, that's answered by the very next verse, verse 4. "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." In other words, who we really are is a hidden reality right now in Christ. We are not now all that we are going to be. We are not yet like our dear Lord to whom we are united. And there's a real sense in which that's good news, because it means that you and I, we are not a finished work just yet. We're not finished. God hasn't finished doing what he's going to do. And so when you get frustrated with yourself about how you spoke to your boss, or how you spoke to your employees, or how you treated your friends, or how you treated your spouse, or what you said to your kids, when you get frustrated and you despair at what you did, it's okay, because that's not all of who you are. You're not finished yet. When you get disappointed at how you keep failing at a particular sin, even though you've prayed over it, even though you've worked hard to try and put it to death, it's okay, because you're not finished yet. Who you are is not yet seen in one sense. When you feel like you are stuck in a spiritual rut, just remember that you are a work in progress. You are a work in progress. Who you are in Christ can't be fully seen yet, but one day it will be. So you're not who you were. You're not yet who you will be. And thirdly, right now you are being renewed. And you're being renewed for relationships. Those first two points have a huge impact on who you are right now. Who we are in Christ now, who we will be, that affects all of our lives right now. You see what Paul says when he talks about our dying and rising with Christ? Come back with me, Colossians 3, verse 1. "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." Our hearts and our minds, that sums up all of who we are. Paul says, set your hearts on things above. Make your treasure Christ. A little bit later, Paul in chapter 3, verse 11 says, for those who died and rise with Christ, Christ is all. He is all. That is, he is to be all for us. He is all beauty. He is all truth. He is all knowledge. He is all wisdom. He is all justice. He is all love. And our hearts are to be captured by that and to make Christ our treasure. And our minds are to be there as well as we process how to live in this world. Our minds are not to be about seeking glory for ourselves in this world, but living for Christ and seeking His glory in all the decisions that we make. Our hearts and minds set on things above. And to do that is the key to the change that Paul talks about next. Verse 5, Colossians 3 says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." This is such a crucial passage for understanding who we are. We need to see what's being said here. Paul says, put to death what belongs to your old self. Remember, we've died with Christ. There is an old self who has died. And that means there are things that you and I experience in our bodies. There are things that we think in our minds that are not genuinely who we are. They are not authentically us. They belong to the old self, the self who's already died with Christ. Not every feeling, not every desire, not every bodily urge we have is genuinely who we are in Christ. And that's really important for us to see, because there is a message that is playing very loud and clear. You will see it in the media. You will see it in things like safe schools. You will see it all over the place. There is a message that says something very different. It says, if you have an urge, you should act on that urge to be authentically you. Right? If you have a feeling, if you have a desire, you should act out on that, and in that way you will discover who you really are. But Paul says something completely different. He says, not every urge, not every desire we have is who we are. Many of those things belong to our old self who was died, the self who was an object of God's wrath. And he says, put those things aside. Don't do that. That self has died. And so we're called to act in accordance with reality, the reality of our new life that is hidden in Christ. And notice what those things are that belong to the old self. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, lying. All of those things are things that are destructive of relationships with each other. That's why they're on the list. It's not like when God was creating humanity, he went, okay, so we've done this human thing. Better have some rules. What am I going to put on the naughty list? I don't know. Sexual immorality, that's probably, I don't know, that we'll call that bad, and anger and malice. That's not how it works. The things that are objects of God's wrath are things that destroy relationships, because we're made in the image of God, and God is relationship, so we're made to be in relationship. So things that destroy relationship, they're the evil things, right? Sexual immorality and lust, they destroy relationships because they treat people as objects, not with dignity. Greed is to be put off because it seeks to build ourselves up rather than being generous towards others like God has been generous. Anger, rage, malice, they're all things that tear relationships apart. Slander, filthy language, lying. I'm not sure that there's anything more destructive to relationships than lying. Because if someone lies all the time, you don't know who they are. You don't know what the truth is. And so you can't trust them. You can't know them. That's why those things are to be put off. And so for those of you here this morning who don't know Jesus, you might be checking this whole thing out. I want you to see that Christianity is not a bunch of rules to keep. It's not like this is the test that God has set and he's going to grade you on it and you better get 51% or better or he's not going to pass you. It's not how it works. The call to put off these types of behavior is tied to what God has already done for us in generous love in Christ, and then who we are because of what God has done for us in Christ. All that God is calling us to do is to live in accordance with the reality that he's given to us as a gift. And for those of you who do know Jesus, let me ask you a question. How are you going with putting these things off? How are you going with putting to death those things that belong to your old self, who was an object of God's wrath, but who died with Christ? Because if you want to know who you truly are in Christ, that person will emerge as you put those behaviors of your old self to death. And part of putting them off is hearing what we need to put on in their place. Colossians 3 verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And you notice again all the things that we're called to put on, right? We're called to put off that which is wrong and put on those things that build up relationships. Put off those that destroy, put on those that build up. Put on compassion. You can't do that. You can't show compassion unless you're showing compassion to someone in a relationship. Put on kindness. Kindness doesn't make sense unless you're kind to someone, to another person in a relationship. It's the same with humility and gentleness and patience. You can't forgive unless you're forgiving another person. And that can be hard, can't it? Forgiving other people can be hard. I find this one of the most difficult things to put on as part of my new identity in Christ. In the past, when people have wronged me or wronged my wife, I have found it really hard to forgive them. And I think what's going on there is a pride thing, where I don't trust God to be the judge of that person and do right in that situation. I want to set myself up to be God and play judge over that person myself. Or even worse, I don't want God to be able to forgive that person for what they did, all the while at the same time I'm asking God to forgive me for all the pride-filled terrible things that I've done in all the relationships that I'm in. I mean, what a hypocrite, right? But praise God that he can forgive hypocrites even like me. And he can forgive hypocrites like you too. And so, dear friends, can I urge you to hear this word about your new identity? If you have a grievance with someone else, particularly here in church with your brothers and sisters in Christ, if you have a grievance with someone, forgive them as the Lord forgave you. As the Lord forgave you. As the Lord forgave you. And then you will be loving as our Lord is loving. And you will be becoming what you already are, hidden in Christ, ready to be revealed on the last day. Who are you? You're not who you were, an object of God's wrath, because you've died with Christ and have risen to new life with Christ. You're not who you were. You're not who you will be. For your life is hidden in Christ and not yet seen for all that it will be. It will be revealed in Christ at the last day. But we're not that yet. But right now we are being renewed. We're being renewed in Christ to be in the relationships we're created to be in. And so day by day, we're being made like Christ as we put off the old self who died with Christ, and as we clothe ourselves, as we put on the new self in Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, let us live and be who we are already in Christ. Let me pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that out of your love and mercy, you made us and saved us in the Lord Jesus, that you united our lives to him so that when he died, we died. Our old self died. When he rose, we rose. Our new self is alive, alive to God. We thank you that our life is hidden with Christ. We can't see all that we will be yet, but it will be revealed. And Father, we pray right now that you will help us to put off our old self, to realize that every thought or urge or desire we have is not necessarily who we are, but to examine them in the light of Christ and put off what is evil and to put on what is good. Help us to clothe ourselves with love and humility and compassion and kindness and gentleness. And so be who you've already made us to be in Christ and to be authentically human in Christ. Help us in this by your Spirit, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.